Shores and El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for this Tuesday night. We are live here at the El Pacifico studio. We are located in the land of fog and sea lions, about 40 miles north of the great metropolitan sprawl that is Los Angeles, but far enough out and away and up, and, you know, just we're way out, you know?
Yeah.
So we're right here on the edge of the ocean, right here on the edge of the of reality, really, as we do our program each and every night, going places other talk shows only wish, only pray they could go. Our number again, 877-876-PHIL. And if you think this is weird enough, try us online at philhendryshow.com and watch live streaming video of our show. Man, you'll really get spooked. Now we have with us Mr. Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley, of course, is our listener who had volunteered to be a... basically, Don, our what we call our omnibudsman. You watched the interview with Sandusky, and we're going to play the pivotal moment in that interview that most of us felt was a dead giveaway as to Sandusky's guilt. But you, Don, you seem to think that this was Mr. Sandusky being taken aback by a rather off-putting question.
Sexually attracted, you know, I enjoy...
Let's go back to the very beginning, though. This is... when Costas looks him dead in the eye, and sure, with a little gleam in it, he asks...
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Am I sexually attracted to underage boys? Sexually attracted? You know, I enjoy young people. I love to be around them. But no, I'm not sexually attracted to young boys.
Don, your comment again?
Well, I gave you my comment. I mean, I think he was shocked, you know. And Don, here's the other thing, Phil. Bob Costas is a very youthful-looking man. A lot of people think he looks probably 20 years younger than he does. And I remember when Bob Costas first broke in at the NBC, you know, doing the sports. He looked like he's, you know, a lot of, you know, men. I guess you're one of these people, these weirdos. You probably think he's a little, you know, cute boy or something. And I think it was very, very wrong of NBC to have Bob Costas do the interview. If there was anything about Mr. Sandusky that was attracted to a boy, any type, and then you've got Costas with the baby boy, you know, he's got these big baby blue eyes, all this. I got to tell you.
What does that mean? Are you trying to tell me that this was they entrapped this guy because Bob Costas looks like a cute boy?
I think that I wouldn't put it past NBC to pull any kind of trick, no matter how base, to try and lure Sandusky into making an admission. And even then, he said, no, I'm not sexually attracted. I'd like to splash and have fun. Well, who doesn't? I've heard what people said. If you're an adult, you don't do that. Okay. If you've got better judgment, Mr. Sandusky didn't have judgment. Again, he's childlike in the way that he looks at life.
Well, you're just making him sound like he's some kind of a childlike creature. He's just a nymph in the woods or something.
A nymph in the woods?
Well, you know, some guy in the woods that's just very, very not responsible for what he thinks, what he does. He's with the kids, and that's what a guy does. And it may be not right, but he's not a sexual predator. And you believe that?
Sir, I believe that with all of my... I didn't say that I don't think he's a sexual predator. I think what's going on here is... Okay, I know that you said that it's not sanitary to slide on a bathroom floor. What if you're wearing underwear?
It doesn't make any... What do you mean, what, a bathroom floor?
No, not a bathroom floor. I'm sorry. What I meant was on a shower, on the shower floor.
No, it doesn't make any difference to me. It doesn't make any difference. It's vile. It's disgusting. It's a shower floor, children, if for no other reason. If you had every excuse, if you could find an excuse for everything else, showering with a kid at 10 o'clock at night, showering naked with a kid at 10 o'clock at night, to explain why you would allow a child to slide along the filthy floor of a shower stall in a college, in a football locker room, where there's every kind of fungus and mange and disease, I can't explain that at all.
Mr. Henry, there's not... Why don't you just throw leprosy in, too?
Don't be ridiculous. The fact is, it's not... Are you trying to tell me it's sanitary?
I think that it's because of what I said. because it's hot water.
Would you eat a meal off of that floor?
Oh.
Yeah. You wouldn't eat a meal off that floor, would you?
Of course I wouldn't eat a meal. I'm off. People urinate on it.
People urinate on it. So that way you wouldn't eat a meal off of it, but you'd be sliding around on it. So what I'm getting here from you, Don, is basically this guy, while inappropriate and while stupid, was not in any way, shape, or form criminally liable for molesting children, because you say it's natural to just hug and...
I told you about my brother and his wife in Bowling Green. They have a swim camp. He said you can't dive into a pool full of kids without your hand swiping a butt or something.
Now it's swiping a butt. You know, when you said it last hour...
I'm not going to be crude, but...
So your brother's diving into pools with his hand swiping kids. Does his wife dive into the pool?
Hold on for just a minute, sir. You're not going to accuse my brother. And
I'm not doing anything. You're the guy that brought this up. You also brought up what you said was an instance of you being molested as a kid.
I didn't say that I was molested. I said I'm pretty sure a guy tried to take my shorts off.
Well, when you're pretty sure that a guy tried to take your shorts off, you don't remember who.
No, I don't remember who. I think I'm probably, blacked it out or something.
You blocked, like psychologically blocked it.
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's continue listening to a little bit more of this interview. Bob Costas and this guy Sandusky, Jerry Sandusky, the head, the defensive coordinator for Penn State, who was interviewed by Bob Costas, and here is just a little bit more of this.
When Mike McQuarrie saw what he says was a rape in the shower in 2002, he reported it the next day to Joe Paterno. To your knowledge, did Joe Paterno have any information regarding objectionable activities on your part prior to that report in 2002?
I can't totally answer that question. My answer would be no. I mean, that would be my guess, that I don't think he had information.
Did Joe Paterno at any time ever speak to you directly about your behavior?
No.
Yeah.
Never.
See that? Right there. See that? Right there.
You were around the program.
Right,
you used the weight room up until recently. You were seen at Penn State events. How did Joe Paterno greet you? What was your interaction like with him subsequent to 2002?
He greeted me as he always had. If I saw him at football practice, it was cordial. We didn't see each other very much. The last time I saw him was this summer at a golf outing.
He never asked you about what you might have done? He never asked you if you needed help, if you needed counseling?
No.
Right there, Mr.
Never.
That's
never expressed disapproval of any kind?
Right. No.
All right, hold on for just a
minute. How do you feel about what has happened?
All right, we'll continue with some of this. What do you mean right there?
Right there, Mr. Henry, that Joe Paterno didn't see anything going on. And
what about this guy, McQuarrie, who said he saw a rape?
That right there is the loose cannon. That guy, if you want someone who's got his marbles all screwed, you want a guy who's missing some marbles, and you want a guy who's marbled up, that's the guy. Because Paterno, hey, you know, not a problem, you know, there's nothing going on. The other guy, nothing going on. You know?
What about the mother of that victim, the mother who confronted this guy, and the cops were eavesdropping, the cops themselves, the police, whether they were state police, I don't know who, but these guys were in another room listening in to find out exactly what happened. What about that?
Well, did they arrest him? No. Did they? No. Okay. And he said I was nude and, you know, I was splashing around.
You nude and splash, but these cops, do you think cops have enough time on their hands to just go out and investigate every silly thing?
No, I don't, sir.
Then why were they hanging around? Why did they hide in that woman's house with her approval so they could eavesdrop in on a conversation she was having with this guy?
Because I think, to be honest with you, I think cops ought to get a life. You know, there's a lot of cops, you know, I know cops are good, but there's a lot of cops just, you know, I mean, you know, I'd rather they spend time in a donut shop than, you know, screwing the pooch, going into that.
You call that screwing the pooch, huh? Checking into possible allegations of sexual abuse of a child.
If there's nothing to it, if there's no foundation to it, instead, they go off and they go here and they go there. The only guy to me that's got his head screwed on straight and has got his act together and all of his marbles are, you know, everything's lined up the way they ought to be, is Joe Paterno. He said, no, nothing wrong, everything's good, go on. And this McQuarrie, hey, you know, I don't want to make a joke because I know his name, but his name's McQuarrie. I'll tell you what, he's queer all right, and I don't mean that in a gay way. I mean, he's queer. It sounds like he's queered up in the head.
And you know what? This is a guy that may very well be a pivotal witness in a criminal trial against this guy, Sandusky, and you call this guy queer in the head or touched in the head. We'll see. Okay, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Don Parsley, our final segment here, as we discuss with Mr. Parsley this interview with Bob Costas and Sandusky. And you know what? We'll play a couple more clips from that. But you heard another series of comments there. What did you tell Joe Paterno? What did Joe Paterno say to you? Nothing. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a couple of things in the news today that don't, I got to be honest with you, they don't exactly redound well for Coach Paterno. One of them is he passed his home on to his wife for a buck. He transferred full ownership of his home to his wife for $1 last July. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to be coming back.
Well, Mr. Hendry, hold on. Can I say something?
What?
Don't be saying last July like you're Walter Cronkite or, you know.
Get out of here. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Don Parsley. Don, by the way, where do you live?
I live in Omaha.
Oh, that's right. You listen to us in Omaha, and you are a... what is your profession, sir?
Well, I'm a long-haul trucking. Right now, I have a machine shop that I operate with my brother-in-law, and of course, I've as I said, I've done some long-haul trucking. I do some... local moving.
Okay. And you listen to our show and you're familiar with the Sandusky situation, and I asked you to watch this interview, and you have given us the opinion that while Sandusky is a real weird bird, you don't believe he is necessarily a pedophile.
I don't know. You heard what he said. They said, not that the guy's going to tell the truth or anything, or, you know, I'm not saying 100% and everything like this, but when Bob Costas, who's this little boy, see, again, I want to go back to how NBC... has this guy, Bob Costas, looks like some, you know, I mean, I've never been to prison, but if Bob Costas ever showed up on the yard, I mean, how long?
Let's not talk about Bob Costas. What are you getting at? Are you saying that...
I'm telling you that NBC, in their own way, entrapped Sandusky by having Babyface do... They get Babyface doing the interview, is all I'm saying.
Babyface meaning Costas?
Yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line, we have Michael. Hi, Michael. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil. This guy, Don, man, he's making excuses, everything under the sun for Sandusky. And he's jumping into a pool and accidentally brushing up against somebody. It's totally different than molesting kids. It's, I mean... There's no reason that a grown man should be showering with a young kid, sliding around on the floor. If you have to take a shower and a kid needs to take a shower, you separate. You do what you got to do, then I do what I got to do. There's no reason for a grown-ass man to be in the shower with a young kid. That's all I got to say. Well, you should hang up on Don.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, buddy. Even free speech,
you got
it. Yeah. You don't have the guts to hear other opinions. Just fine.
The gentleman can do what he wants to do, okay?
You don't want to hear me? If you're in a shower and your kid is, let's say your kid fell down in a mud pile. Okay, are you going to tell him to go take a shower? Of course you are. What if you need one too?
You're not going to go in there with him, is the point the gentleman's making. You're not going into the shower with him. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Lisa on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, to Don.
I love these guys that throw their hand grenades and then they run away.
Go ahead, Lisa.
You need to be in a mental institution, seriously. I have three children. My husband
is
a coach, And if anybody touched my children in the shower, especially an older man, cops would be the least of this guy's problems, seriously.
Well, wait a second. So you don't believe we should hug children? Boy,
no, helping children is different when they're younger. But this kid's 10 years old. He knows how to wash himself. He knows.
No, I didn't say help. I said hug. I said, don't you think we should be able to hug children?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Children.
Well, that's all he
did.
They're nude. They're nude.
You don't do that when a child is naked. I have three boys of my own, and believe me, I will never hug my kid while they're naked.
When I was a baby, I remember my mother soaping me up. And I'll tell you right now, she soaped everything up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When you're a baby. When you're a baby.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah, it's okay. How else is an infant child supposed to clean themselves?
I was old enough to stand.
All right, how old were you?
I was old enough to stand.
All right, maybe you were two. You're two, and your mother's bathing you. Or are you supposed to bathe yourself at two? I don't know. Lisa, I don't think so. I don't think you bathe yourself at two.
Honestly, you're not. Because
children are being bathed in, yeah.
They can still drown in a bathtub.
What?
My youngest son is 4 years old, and he takes his showers by himself. He gets out of the shower by himself. He gets dressed by himself. I do not help my 4-year-old son.
Okay. When I was two, what's soaping up my you-know-what have to do with drowning?
Well, wait a second, man. If you're a two-year-old is basically just learned to walk. And a two-year-old, I know kids that are bathing together. You see the three little kids in a bathtub together when they're like five or six.
Well, this lady's going to disagree with you. She's got her 4-year-old.
No.
He's in the shower.
I'm sorry, no. My kids take showers separately.
Too.
Okay, and I have
see,
a stepdaughter.
Now there's a difference.
And I would not put her in the bathtub with my oldest son. I'm sorry, you just don't do that.
There you go, Mr. Henry. This lady disagrees with you.
Well, I'm just saying what I've seen. I've seen photographs that mothers have taken of babies in the tub together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
and I don't know how old they are.
Younger. When they're younger,
I don't know.
Cause they don't.
Well, they don't look like babies. They don't look like babies. They got hair on their head and they're.
Yeah. See, this lady disagrees. She thinks that what you're endorsing, Mr. Henry, is perversion.
No,
she
perversion.
Doesn't. What you're saying, Dawn, is this.
No. Don't put words in my mouth. It is not
perversion.
No, you
just said that what Mr. Henry's saying, he's a pervert.
She didn't say that about me.
I never said that. What I said is a child at a younger age is fine to have a bath with another child at the same age. But when they get older, they need to be separated. And they don't need an adult to bathe them.
Ma'am, all I'm asking you is, can I use the word onions?
What are you talking about?
If my mother was soaping up my onions when I was...
All right, grow up. I don't want to hear this asinine talk. This has got nothing to do with a 58-year-old man showering with a 10-year-old boy who is not his son, who's of no blood relation. Even if it was his son, it would be real weird. 10 o'clock at night, sliding around on the filthy floor of a university football locker room shower. This is irresponsible at the very least.
Exactly.
Okay, so I've been on your program taking abuse for a solid hour, and you don't want to pay me for this.
No, I don't.
He shouldn't have to.
No, I don't.
You.
I'm entitled to compensation for taking
all kinds. No, you're not. You're expressing your opinion. It's called freedom of speech. You're expressing your opinion about an incident that happened. He should not have to pay you for it.
Yeah, but my opinion is against.
Oh, grow up. Your opinion is against the prevailing wisdom, or the prevailing opinion. I'm sorry, Don, it happens. You know, nobody is taking your livelihood away from you. Nobody's going to lock you up. No one's telling you can't talk. We're disagreeing with you, and we're disagreeing with you strenuously, and you're getting all weepy about it. Thank you very, very much, Lisa. I appreciate it. Yeah?
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
You want her to abuse me more.
I just want to point out a fact that...
Oh, my God.
I'm 23
abuse me more.
Years old with three kids, and my mother does not even help my children take a bath. And my
Did
mom
your mother bathe
kids.
You? All right, does your mother bathe you?
I know she don't bathe me. I'm
but it wouldn't be weird if she did. Would it be weird if she did?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
What if she was sick?
If she was sick, maybe that'd be something different.
That's
Lisa, thank you very much.
That's my husband's job to do. Thank you.
But what if your mother came over to take care of the babies while you were bathing your son? Oh, never mind.
You know what? I think that what you're doing here, Don, is you're just trying to find...
Trying to find a reason. I don't need to, Mr. Henry. I stood up for a man. You want to rape him? The only rape that's taken place, Mr. Henry, is you and your callers raping Mr. Sandusky. And my onions have got nothing to do...
Thank you very much. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and Dr. Jim Sadler coming up.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And it is the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and philhenryshow.com. By the way, if you're watching Phil Henry, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, I'm wearing again our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. This is our hoodie right here, and you can see, and I will describe it to you who are not watching our Phil TV in HD. It's the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo, blue and white, on a black hoodie sweatshirt. But the special added attraction, you like this part, bud.
This is so bitchin'.
Right on the back there is the slogan that Ted has worked so assiduously to promote. We want to put our meat in your mouth. There it is. The Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan is right on the back. So you got to get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And, of course, with the Christmas around the corner, the big-time Phil Henry fan in your house, maybe you're not a big-time Phil Henry fan. Maybe you are. Or maybe everybody in the family is, you know. Great place to shop for them, therefore, is at our website, philhenryshow.com. Go to the shop. You find our shot glass, our coffee mug, our hat, our T-shirt, our hoodie. All of our legacy best-of CDs are there at the Phil Henry Show shop at philhenryshow.com. Lots to talk about tonight. We have Margaret Gray joining us this evening from Santa Monica, and she's with her husband, Frank. And it seems like every time I talk to you, Margaret, you guys are coming from or going to some function. What is it tonight?
It really seems that way, doesn't it, Phil? Tonight we are honoring a very good friend of Frank's, Don Deflin, who was an attorney and an agent for a long time here in Los Angeles, and represented some wonderful, wonderful people in the motion picture and television business. And he is retiring, and he is moving back to New York. And so this was a dinner for him, and we're very, very proud of him. And we're very, very sorry to see Tom go, but he's always a good friend, and we'll see him very soon.
So you had a column that appeared today, and a little bird told me concerning this Sandusky affair.
So the Enough is Enough column has gotten an awful lot of response from people. And I was simply saying, don't we get enough sports on the weekend? Why are we continually talking about sports during the week?
Now, you're talking about the Sandusky story.
Yes, and I understand what the Sandusky story is about, and I know the content of the Sandusky story. And I was a little bit resentful, Phil, when you commented to me that somehow I didn't understand what the Sandusky story. Of course I understood.
Well, no, but the point that I was trying to make was that how can you call it a sports story?
It is most certainly a sports story because it involves the defensive coordinator of Penn State, the Penn State football program, the 409 wins of Joe Paterno, the defensive team of Penn State, the offensive team, the fact that they had so-and-so out at the game, they played Nebraska, blah, blah. It is just too much. And let's get off of this story until Saturday rolls around.
And are we getting off of the story of Sandusky, this man Sandusky, manhandling this child?
It is a sports story. And
you're a mother.
Don't go there, please. Don't go there.
Why not? Why can't I go? I don't understand.
Of course I'm a mother.
All right, well then.
Don't you dare use my child or anyone else's child to substantiate or otherwise endorse your desire that sports take over every waking moment of our lives. I'm sick of it, and a lot of people are sick of it.
Wait a minute. That is not fair. That's not fair.
How is it not fair?
I'm talking about the little boy, these kids that were alleged...
See, right there. There you go again.
And will you let me finish? These kids that are alleged to have been molested?
My God, you don't... You really will stoop to anything, won't you? God, oh, Frank, he did it again.
I told you she would.
What has Frank got to do? Will you leave your husband out of this, please?
He said to leave you out of it.
I knew she'd say
it. Margaret, we'll hang the phone up. And
you're always black. That's the emotional blackmail. That's the emotional blackmail place that you go to. You know, right now I'm looking at Kirk Douglas in Spartacus, and I don't think that there is anything sexier in motion picture history than Kirk Douglas and whoever this is. He's kissing. There's only one scene that is sexier, and you're going to think I'm being unusual. And that is Laurence Olivier and Tony Curtis in the bathtub together, all right. And
in the bathtub? You mean in the Roman bath?
Wow, get a load of you. He calls it a Roman bath.
Well,
okay, Phil, in the Roman bath. And
that's sexy, huh? That's Laurence Olivier and Tony Curtis. And what about that do you like? You know, I would...
See, what you're going to try and do is you're going to try to tie that into the Sandusky.
No, I would never do that. Those are two... You know what? I don't understand the way you think. Why is that sexy?
Laurence Olivier? Oh, my God.
Laurence Olivier, yeah.
And Tony Curtis.
Yeah, and they're together in a bathtub playing out a scene that is a, you know, a thinly veiled gay scene because this movie was written by Gore Vidal.
You're talking about Spartacus.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes. I don't understand what you're saying. Laurence Olivier and Tony Curtis what?
That movie was written by Gore Vidal, and he admitted that he put these gay references in the script throughout. That was what a lot of gay writers did in those days, to protest or to at least try to get part of their lives and their view on life into these big-time Hollywood movies or into books or whatever the vehicle was.
You're saying that...
Oh, come on, Margaret, don't be a child. Everybody that's ever seen the movie...
You know something, Phil? I really, really hope that when you die...
I go to hell?
What's she upset about?
I don't know what she's upset about. At least she didn't go into a long floral thing about how when you die, you know, I hope that you... What?
She's not alone.
Yeah?
You hung up. When you die, you take the shuttle to the Napalm Suite West, Hyatt Hell, turn left...
I don't want to hear it, okay? Let me just say this. She's got to be out of her mind, and she needs a doctor if she thinks that the Sandusky story is a sports story. There's nothing sports about that story. That story is a human tragedy is what it is, and it's a human interest story, and it's a news story, and I don't think that there are certainly elements of sport involved. The tragic effect this has had on what was, quote-unquote, a once-proud football program. The consequence to the career of Joe Paterno. And let me just read something here. What, bud?
Back in the line.
Phil, I've got right here the Joe Paterno. And you hung up on me, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to you tell me to take the shuttle to hell, to the Napalm Suite West, to the Hyatt Hell, and all of that.
I have the story. Do you mind?
What story?
This is the story, the Joe Paterno and the $1 that he gave the house to his wife, all right?
And I thought you didn't want to talk about sports.
This is not sports. This is real estate.
Don't put her back through. Do you understand what I'm saying, bud? Don't put her back on. Do you understand?
Yeah.
What do you understand?
Don't put her back on.
Don't even allow her. Don't even, when she's on, don't put that phone on the air. When you have Margaret's phone on the air. Don't put her on the air.
I understand.
You're sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Bud, when Margaret calls, do not put her phone on the air. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I understand.
Good. All right. The Paterno thing. What the hell are you doing now, bud?
I told him to put me on. How dare you say that? And how...
What are you doing, man?
It wasn't her phone. She's using her husband's.
Get her.
You look, man.
Wasn't her phone. She was using her husband's.
That she said.
Anyway, the story here is, would you tell him, you take the phones over.
All right.
Paterno passes on home to his wife for a buck. Joe Paterno transferred full ownership of his house to his wife. His wife's name is Sue. A boy called Sue? No, his wife named Sue. For a dollar in July, less than 4 months before a sexual abuse scandal engulfed his Penn State football program and the university. Documents filed in Center County, PA, showed that on July 21, Paterno's house near campus was turned over to Suzanne P. Paterno trustee for $1 plus love and affection. The couple had previously held joint ownership of the house, which they bought in 1969 for $58,000. According to documents filed with the county, the house's fair market value was listed at $594,484.40. Wick Sollers, a lawyer for Paterno, said in an email that the Paternos had been engaged in a multi-year estate planning program, and the transfer was simply one element of that plan. He said it had nothing to do with the scandal. Now, the other news story was this. The other news story was this. Paterno's 409th win comes, and then all of a sudden a scandal breaks. Was there something having to do with that 409th win, that record-breaking win that moved him past Eddie Robinson as the all-time winningest coach? That delayed, perhaps, some of the announcements, some of the public offerings of this case. And then one other thing, McQuarrie or whatever the hell this guy's name is, who said, and according to the grand jury, said that he witnessed a rape in progress, went and talked to his father, then went and talked to his coach. He now says in an email that was uncovered by NBC that he emailed his players and said, "You guys know me, I stopped it." Meaning he did intervene. He's claiming that he intervened. He intervened and stopped something that, according to Sandusky, was not happening. And then finally, Sandusky saying that he went to, Paterno never said anything to him. So someone's lying. And obviously, they're going to say, well, these are just different versions of the same event, and this is what happens. People see an elephant, and one person's holding the tail, and the other one's holding the trunk, and nobody ever really gets the full picture. I get it. This is the bullcrap that you and I are going to be asked to swallow here over the next few months. God forbid, perhaps years. You don't understand. You see, I remember in the Rodney King trial, and you remember this too. I remember them saying that when we all saw that beating take place, and I'm not saying that Rodney King's an angel. It's got nothing to do with Rodney King. We're talking about police, the police action there that night. And by the time the trial had progressed to a significant point, we're sitting there scratching our heads going, wait a second, you mean what I saw on a tape is actually normal police procedure? That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Yes, he wasn't complying. He wouldn't get his hand. He wouldn't move his hand. This, that, this, and that. So the beating took place. So the truth was somewhere in the middle. The truth was somewhere between an absolute brazen display of police brutality under color of authority and absolute by-the-book police procedure. Somewhere in the middle there is where, and what was it? It was this. Maybe some of that is police procedure. You don't know if the guy's got a gun. You don't know his hand is under his body. But at some point, you stop beating this guy and you back off.
Well, I see it differently. You see, years ago...
Why don't you shut up? You with the... She was on her husband's phone.
She was.
We'll be right back here on a world... Yeah, that's great. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. This is not sports. This is not a sports story, so don't worry about it. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Margaret Gray back with us from Santa Monica. Is that where you are, Margaret?
No, I'm not in Santa Monica. I'm in Hollywood, Phil, and I called back to tell you that I hope you die in a gasoline fire. Now go out and make it a great day. And then I was going to hang up, but now that you are being more polite to me...
Okay, well, that didn't take long.
Where'd you hang up on her?
She hopes I die in a gasoline fire.
Yeah, but then she said go out and make it a great day.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, she's just...
What is that supposed to mean, Margaret?
How dare you put me on hold? I have...
I'll put her on hold. What is that supposed to mean?
It means that's her new way of saying goodbye. Go out and make a... Go out and die in a... We're not a gasoline fire, but go out and make a great day.
Yeah, go make a great day.
But then she says that after she hopes I die in a gasoline fire. Is that what you said?
You hang up on me one more time. You put me on hold one more time. And there isn't a corner of the earth.
How do you like that?
She's going to... Are you kidding me or something? You realize what will happen if you keep doing that?
I just did it again. She's not scaring me. Nobody says, I hope you die in a gasoline fire, now go out and make it a great day. Now, what do you want to talk about, Margaret?
You're dead. There's a dead man on the other end of the phone. I'm talking into a dead phone.
Now, go out and make it a great day. All right, moving on here. Facebook flooded with porn and violent images. Facebook is investigating reports of a massive wave of pornographic and violent images being posted to its website. The content, in the form of links, videos, and images, began to appear Monday. That would be today. And includes Dr. Oh, that would be yesterday. Actually, that would be 2 days ago now, because today is Wednesday.
Take the trash out?
Yes, I did take the trash out. The content in the form of links, videos, and images began to appear Monday and includes doctored photographs of celebrities such as Justin Bieber in compromising situations, acts of violence and self-mutilation, and even bestiality. We have recently experienced an increase in reports, and we're investigating and addressing the issue, Facebook spokesman Andrew Noyes told FoxNews.com. We are always working to improve our systems to isolate and remove material that violates our terms. Protecting the people who use Facebook from spam and malicious content is a top priority for us. Don't ever, ever open up any messages, any email. First of all, don't even use Facebook email. You must be out of your mind if that's what you're doing. Don't use Facebook email. You understand? Don't use Facebook email. Number two, don't ever open up any message on Facebook unless you know who the person is. It's not a link. It's not a video. It's not a funny this or a funny that, okay? Just get that jazz out of there. You know, your friends, your real friends, you don't have to be communicating with them on Facebook. They've got your email address and maybe even your phone number. If they're a Facebook friend, they're not a solid, locked-in friend, and so therefore you should not be allowing them, you shouldn't be opening any kind of content that they send to you. That's number one. That's just the beginning of the millions and millions of things you shouldn't be doing. Number two, what is it with you people putting your phone numbers out on Facebook? You see, I think that there's two people that put their phone numbers on Facebook. Weird asses that want to, you know, harass people. So when you call that number, they're able to lock your number in, and they'll change their number. It's no big thing. Really, really desperately lonely people, pathetically lonely people, desperately hard-up chicks or guys, or just, like, simple-minded clowns that don't get, you don't do that. You don't ever put your phone number on Facebook. Are you out of your mind? Don't put any personal address information. Don't put your place of business. I don't care how proud you are to work there. You can certainly put the company that you work for. Don't put down where it is, this and that. I mean, if you are concerned about this. Now, like I said, there's some people that sort of welcome this because they got no life. So those are the people that, like in that places thing, you ever seen that?
Yeah, I saw a guy the other day checked in from a burger stand.
Yeah, I thought, well, yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that?
I'm sure you're going to tell everybody, yeah, hi, it's 3 in the morning, I'm at a burger stand in Santa Barbara or something.
Well, you know, that is kind of, I don't know. I think that places thing is whack. I don't get that.
I don't get it either.
Well, I mean, you're just trying to tell, like on Facebook?
Yes, what do you think we're talking about?
Well, if you tell, but yeah, hey, I'm checking in from like, let's say you're checking in from TGIF or you're checking in from, I don't know, you know, like Ruth's Chris or something like that. Maybe there's some chick you know on Facebook or something, and she's going to know where you are. You can hook up, you know.
When's that going to happen? When's the last time you hooked up with some chick on a places thing?
I don't know. It could.
Well, that's a real screwy. To me, that's a real thin reason to, hey, I'm checking in from the such and such sports bar in the you know, radical hope that, you know, somebody that from Facebook, some hot chick from Facebook is going to know I'm here and come over and, what, buy you a drink? That's really weird, man. Facebook, you know, the thing about Facebook is there are people learning things from Facebook that as disc jockeys we learned a long time ago. Oh, I better not say. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with more on this Facebook fang.
Phil Hendry.
What about checking in?